another new stimulus plan this morning from the White House.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson in for Bill Radke. Another day, another economic stimulus idea from the White House. The latest plan to speed up a tax break for companies to build new factories and buy equipment like computers and tractors. Marketplace's Scott Tong is live for us this morning in Washington with more. Good morning, Scott.
Jeremy, good morning.
Well, we heard about that big plan for infrastructure spending yesterday. What are the details of the latest proposal?
Well, when a company buys new stuff, typically it can write off those costs over several years, sometimes even 20 years, depending on what the stuff is. This proposal says you can take the whole deduction up front. So this is a cash flow thing, money in their pockets now instead of later, if they spend it on plants and equipment, the things that Uncle Sam wants. Now, the administration says this is going to give businesses $200 billion that they'd otherwise be paying in taxes. So if you're for it, you argue that this creates jobs and contracts for the people who make stuff, like bulldozers and computers. If you're against it, you argue this may not change much. Companies already have access to cheap credit to invest, and they may not do it unless sales actually pick up, Jeremy.
So good arguments for and against. Can this get through Congress, though, Scott?
Well, key business lobbying groups have already given an initial "it smells good" kind of sense, but. And the but is what they really want is something else, to extend the income tax cuts on wealthier Americans that expire soon. So everyone is posturing, and we can expect that throughout the fall campaign. Tomorrow, the president speaks again about the economy in Cleveland.
Okay, Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
And let's check the world stock markets. In Europe at this hour, stocks down about 1%, a mixed day in Asia. And here in New York, markets were closed yesterday because of the holiday, but the Dow will start off this morning at 10,447. Earlier this year, Detroit Mayor Dave Bing suggested moving some of the city's residents from blighted neighborhoods to other parts of the city. Detroit is trying to save money on services in areas that are largely abandoned. But the proposal didn't go over well with some residents, and now, as Sarah Hewlett reports from Michigan Radio, Mayor Bing is trying a different tack.
It's a kinder, gentler approach than Mayor Bing initially took. Back in February, he predicted there would be winners and losers as the city looked to scale back services like trash pickup and street maintenance to better align with Detroit's declining population. The city spends nearly $3 billion a year on municipal services, and Detroit is struggling to close an $85 million deficit. Bing's comments prompted an uproar over the prospect of forced relocations and drew comparisons in one of the city's newspapers to the treatment of Native Americans in the Trail of Tears. Bing now promises eminent domain is off the table. Marja Winters is the deputy director of Detroit's Planning and Development Department.
I think there's a large level of mistrust, and I think that we have to build credibility and we have to regain confidence and trust in government.
Winters will help oversee a 12 to 18 month process to come up with a strategic plan for how the city deals with major issues, including land use, housing, and transportation. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com.
News this morning in the Wall Street Journal about some skepticism over a Google takeover of the online travel search engine ITA. ITA is used by fare compare sites like Kayak and Orbitz. Well, competitors are questioning whether Google would unfairly send web searchers to its own travel services if the takeover is approved. And the ITA acquisition is part of a larger picture at Google, a company that continues to expand and hire despite the tough economy. But before you punch up your resume and start looking for an apartment in Silicon Valley, you should know that a big part of Google's expansion is happening in Pittsburgh. Mark Newtbar of WDUQ has the story.
Google has more than 100 employees housed in a small building on the Carnegie Mellon University campus. It's bursting at the seams, so the company is about to move 2 miles down the street. Google first partnered with Carnegie Mellon in 2006. Rick McCullough is the vice president for research at the school.
A lot of universities thought that we were insane to have companies polluting, you know, the purity of the ivory tower in the academics. And that turns out to be, you know, what we believe is the future of research.
The engineering manager at Google's Pittsburgh office is Kamal Nigam. He relies on those close ties to Carnegie Mellon.
Some of our software engineers teach classes at CMU. We have faculty who come and do sabbatical with us. We have joint lecture series. We hire interns.
Carnegie Mellon continues to attract big names to its campus, including Intel, Apple, and Disney. McCullough says every company has different standards for sharing intellectual property, funding, and staff.
We don't make partnerships with all corporations. We handpick the ones we want to partner with, the ones that are really, really difficult to work with on intellectual property and legal issues. We walk away.
Carnegie Mellon's not alone in getting tech companies here. There's also the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Its leader is Audrey Russo, who says having bigger names in town really helps attract other firms.
It just changes the plane of the conversation in terms of our credibility.
Andy Quayle has bought what Russo is trying to sell. Quayle came to the States from the Isle of Man and eventually settled in Pittsburgh, where he launched an internet solutions company. He sits in a Starbucks in a waterfront entertainment district that once hosted a 2-mile-long steel mill.
People are coming into town, they're like, wow, Pittsburgh is definitely not what I imagined it would be. There's a whole lot of tech in Pittsburgh. There's startups coming up all over the place. There's incubator labs. The talent we got here, there's a whole lot of talent in Pittsburgh.
Quayle says Pittsburgh is becoming the Silicon Valley of the East, so much so that he's launched the blog techburg.com. I'm Mark Newpar for Marketplace.
And finally, the news kids everywhere are going to wish I didn't report. A new study of students at American University finds that exam scores for people who have Facebook running, even in the background, are about 20% lower than those who don't. On the bright side, the students with Facebook were probably able to recall exactly where all 600 of their friends had recently traveled on vacation. Having said that, if you're studying for an economics class, you can go to our Facebook page. We will be happy to distract you 24 hours a day. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.